Before Ian comes up, the reading from Luke 8, verses 4 through to 15. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that through seeing they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Thank you, Ian.
Well, good morning. I think between my wife and the video, my sermon has been covered, so I just need to top and tail it this morning. But it's good to see you. Now, I don't know if you can remember the kids that are left. There's very few left. But over the last few weeks, we've had this little parable series. Can you remember what we've covered? 4 weeks ago, Alan covered Lost and Found. You remember that? And Graham talked about God's kingdom, the feast that God made, and those who were invited to the feast. And last week we looked at the Good Samaritan. So this week we're thinking of this well-known parable of Jesus. It's called normally the parable of the sower. It might be better called the parable of the soils, because the emphasis is particularly on how people respond to the message of the kingdom, the message that Jesus brings. Now, Margaret was using the gardening illustration, all right. I know we've got some keen and enthusiastic gardeners here. Although I enjoy gardening, I'm not that great. But we enjoy going into the garden, all right. And the point we were making is that as we approach the task of gardening, the task of cultivation, then what does a gardener have to do? Margaret was trying to elicit this morning. And the first thing, of course, you do is not sow the seed, but prepare the soil. Get the soil ready. If you sow seed on top of soil that's not been prepared, then it will not germinate, it will not take root, it will not begin to grow. So the gardener prepares the soil. Then the second thing the gardener does, he sows the seed, of course. He gets the seed and he maybe makes little drills. He may sow it in pots or trays first of all, but the gardener sows the seed in soil that has been prepared. Again, we're familiar with that from the gardening task. And the gardener waters the plants. We need the rain, we need the water. If it doesn't rain, then we water the plant so that they begin to grow. Then, having done that, we need to remove the weeds. That's a very important part of gardening that many of us dislike, but if we don't do it properly, then, of course, we know that healthy young plants that are growing can very quickly be choked out. So weeding is an essential part of gardening, and we recognize that too. Then, finally, there is the patience that's necessary. Okay, we wait. We don't sow seed and expect the next day the seed to be fully grown. We wait with patience. And although these strawberries there look okay, I don't think any of us would want to have some cream with them and eat them, because, of course, they've not reached harvest, they haven't ripened, they haven't reached maturity. So part of gardening is patience. Patience to allow the plants to develop and to grow to maximum. And then finally, in gardening, we have the harvest that is gathered and taken in. looks like some onions. This gardener is picking there, is it? Onions or something like that. We gather the harvest, we rejoice in the fruit that is eventually produced, or we pick the beautiful flowers and we admire what has been created by our green fingers. So that is part of the gardening process. But of course, we might be familiar with gardening, but we didn't live in first century Palestine, and not many of us are farmers here, so probably we'd be less familiar with farming than we would be with gardening. But in a sense, the same process is involved in farming. And so that's why Jesus, when he was trying to teach the people and found that they were very slow to understand what he was saying, had to resort to the message of the method of using parables, telling stories. And of course, you can listen to the story and say, what an interesting story. But as the disciples did on this occasion, they went to Jesus and said, what is the meaning of the story? What lies behind it? These are stories that have another meaning, one particular meaning that is applied in each parable. So by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus gets into the boat and he tells the parable of what we call the sower. The sower sowed his seed, and it was probably more like that than in the nice drills that we saw in those days. And the earth is prepared, sort of, and the seed is sown, and it's thrown around, and it will begin to germinate, and it will take root. And in the story that Jesus told, there were four types of soil. Some landed on the path alongside the field. It was trampled underfoot. The birds of the air came along and they ate the free seed because it was not covered by earth. So that's the first type of seed that we see in the parable. Then we have the seed that landed on the rock, the rocky ground. It was ground, but there were lots of rocks there. It wasn't very fertile soil. And what happened there? Well, the crops grew up. The seed germinated and it began to grow, but it had no root to give it nourishment. So when the hot sun rose, it withered very quickly because it wasn't getting the nutrition and the hydration that it needed, the water that it needed to help it to grow. Second soil. Third soil, the soil that landed in good soil, but also on that soil, there were weeds. And instead of growing to become a healthy crop, the weeds choked out the healthy growing seed and it wasn't able to reach fruition or reach maturity. And the final soil that Jesus talked about was the good ground where the seed landed, where it germinated, where it grew, and where it eventually produced a harvest. In one of the parables, it said 30-fold, 60-fold and 90-fold. Luke's version of the parable says 100-fold. So this is a wonderful crop that is produced by the healthy seed that lands in good ground and grows to maturity and produces fruit that is of a benefit to all. So that is the parable. We're very familiar with it. We know the story. And we're blessed as well in that the gospel writers also record Jesus' explanation of this parable and the reason why he spoke in parables. Jesus said as he's finished that parable, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He uses this expression several times in the gospel. What he's saying is, I've told you a story. If you really want to know more, you need to come and ask me. You need to go dig a little bit deeper. Don't just say, what an interesting story we've heard today about sowing seed in different types of ground. What does this mean? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples and others had ears to hear, to come and to ask Jesus and to listen to his response. They had ears to hear, they heard. And what was Jesus' explanation? Well, first of all, he tells us very clearly what the seed is. The seed is the word of God. That's Luke's reference here. The message of the kingdom, Matthew says, because Matthew is particularly writing his gospel for Jewish readers, but it is the word of God. And we believe that Jesus spoke the word of God. He brought us God's word. We believe that God's word is written down in the Bible, that this book that we read every Sunday and every day is God's word. It is the good seed. It is what gives us spiritual health and brings us to salvation. Tells us of God's love for us and God's forgiving grace. The seed is the word of God. So here is the farmer, a picture of Jesus, a picture, if you like, of someone who now stands and preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the word of God that we scatter around, which lands in the hearts and minds of people. So the seed is the word of God, but in the soils, in the four soils, we see a picture of how people respond to the word of God when they hear it and when they receive it. And you'll remember again, and we've had it well explained in that little video, what happened to the different seeds. We'll leave that slide to later on. First of all, we had the seed on the pathway, the seed on the pathway. We read that it was trampled underfoot by the passers-by or snatched away by the words, by the birds. Jesus says it's like the devil coming along and snatching it away from our heart. God's word comes to us and Satan comes along and says, you can't believe that. That's just for old people or children. Mature, grown-up adults can't believe that sort of stuff in our modern scientific world. Just abandon it. It's all right when you were at Sunday school, but now that you're grown up, leave it behind. And that happens frequently. And that's the challenge of the culture in which we live now. Mature people don't believe these sort of things about a God who created the universe, about a creator who is interested in us, about a God that we can know, about a God who speaks, about a God who comes near to us, about a God who sent us. And how can we possibly believe that? Those who hear the word, it's snatched away, they do not listen. And in a sense, there is no response. No response whatever to the good seed. It is just cast aside, trampled underfoot. It's not for me. It might be for someone else. That may be your set of beliefs. I have a different set of beliefs. There is no absolute truth in the world in which we live, so there's absolutely no response to the word of God when it's heard. No response. I hope you're not like that. I think the fact that we're here this morning suggests that we want to hear the word of God and that we want to respond to it, that we do believe in Jesus and want to follow him and we want to know more about him and what he has to teach us. Then we had the seed on the rock, where there was not much earth, no water or nutrients. And Jesus said, that's like those who receive the word for a time. They say, this is a wonderful message. I'm going to follow Jesus. And then suddenly, following Jesus becomes hard, and there's tests, and there's trial, and there's opposition, and they fall away. So there is an initial superficial response to the seed of the word of God. But when the actual cost of discipleship, because to follow Jesus is costly. Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, he must, what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And when the testing comes along, they show that they've got no roots. Yes, there is a sort of superficial belief, but they're not rooted in the soil. They're not connected to Jesus. There is no saving faith. There is no new life there. So there's no root. And when the testings come along, people fall away. And there are many people like that in our world today. They've made some decision for Christ, perhaps, when they were young. Or perhaps they said, I went forward at a Billy Graham crusade. I've met many people in my life and we said that. But when, in a sense, the cost of following Jesus was faced, or other things came along, they abandoned that faith because they were not rooted and joined to Jesus Christ. They had no faith that lasted the test of time. Their belief in Jesus was superficial. The seed and the rock. Then we have the thorns. The seed gets choked and does not continue to grow. Yes, there's a reception, it seems, of the word of God, and there is a desire to follow Jesus, but life is so complicated, isn't it? There are many things to worry about, and there's my career, and I want to obtain something in life, and I want to enjoy what this culture has to offer me, and Jesus is a little bit restrictive in what he demands for me, the way I live my life in a moral way, that the way I follow his commandments, the way I live in obedience to him. And all these things can suddenly come in, and they squeeze out the word of God, and they squeeze out the message of Jesus. And as a result, the seed that seemed to begin to go gets crushed out, and it produces no results. It produces no fruit. Apparent belief in Jesus, but no results eventually produced. But finally, we have the good soil. The good soil which grew and yielded 100-fold. Those who receive the message with a good heart. Those who hearing the word, says Jesus, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. They begin to produce it in their life. They begin to live like Jesus. They begin to follow Jesus. Their desire above everything else in life is to please Jesus Christ, to follow him. I'm a follower of Christ, and therefore I'm his disciple, and I will live as his disciple day by day. And this may mean going in a different way than the majority of people in my culture, and it may be making different decisions than many people and society around about me. And it may be because of my moral views and my understanding of what the Bible teaches, I will be, in a sense, treated and ostracized by our culture. And I think this will increasingly happen as we seek to stand by the standard of the Word of God in the world in which we live today. But we want wanting to follow Jesus, and we want to be fruitful. We want to be like him. We want to produce fruit in the way we live, in our behavior, in our attitude, in our sharing of our faith with others. The good soil produces fruit with patience, those who have no regrets as they follow Jesus Christ. The four soils. I wonder which one applies to us today. We ask ourselves the question. So what do we need to do? Let's just summarize what we need to do as we look at this parable today. Well, first of all, we need to hear the word of God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We need to listen to what God is saying. We can hear God's word. We are blessed. You know, we have got the Bible in English. We've got the Bible in so many different versions in English. I was hearing about a part of the world recently where there are so few Bibles that they have to divide Bibles up among churches, and each church has a section of the Bible and they swab it around. That's what all they've got. And here we are, we can order from Amazon or any Christian bookshop a Bible in our own language and dozens of verses, and we're blessed that we can hear God's word contained in the scripture. But not only do we hear it, we need to read it. Your word have I hid in my heart, says the psalmist, that I might not sin against you. And so, for followers of Jesus Christ, reading God's word is very important. And many Christians, and hopefully most Christians, have a daily habit of reading a small portion of God's word and praying. That's part of my spiritual life and part of, I'm sure, your spiritual life for many, many years. And we might read long sections or short sections or even a few verses, but it's good to read it and let God's word speak to us. And perhaps we won't always understand it, but God can give us understanding of his word. But then, not only do we need to hear it and read it, we need to listen to it. Because there's a difference between hearing and listening, isn't there? You can be hearing what I'm saying at the moment, and you might be thinking about your Sunday lunch, which you're going to sit down to in an hour or so, and whether you're burning the roast or something like that, okay? Or you might be thinking about what you've got planned next week. And so words, we can sit in situations like that, can't we? We hear stuff and it washes over to me. You know, my wife often says to me when there's maybe something in the background I'm reading about, you're not hearing what I'm saying to you. And then I repeat the last two sentences and she does see that I have listened as well as heard. But there is a difference, isn't there? We don't just hear God's word, but we listen to it. What is God saying to me? What is God's message for me? What does God want me to do with my life? How does God want me to live? How should I follow Jesus today in the 21st century? Listening to God's word, the difference between hearing and listening. And finally, having heard, read, listened, we need to obey. We need to follow what it says. Yes, we listen to God's word and then we're faced with a choice. Do I follow? Do I follow? You know, there was a point in Jesus' life, and we read about it in John 6, where people were following him. There's a huge crowd there, and he'd fed them and filled their stomachs with loaves and fishes, and they wanted to make him a king. And then Jesus began to tell them what it really meant to follow him. And lots of people said, this is a hard saying. We can't follow this man. These saying things that he's saying, and many of them turned away from him. And Jesus said to his own disciples, his own followers, are you also going to go away? Are you also going to leave me? And Peter said, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe that you are the Son of God. And in a sense, they obeyed what Jesus, they realized there was going to be a cost to following Jesus. And in fact, if history is right, most of the 12 apostles, apart from Judas, of course, who committed suicide, were martyred for their faith, died for becoming followers of Jesus. But they were willing to obey God's word and follow it because they recognized who Jesus is. So that's the parable of the sower today. Don't forget it. Very clear parable showing how we respond to the Word of God.